This is the Perfectly Mentored Podcast with your host, Jason Portnoy.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Perfectly Mentored. I'm your host, Jason Portnoy. My guest on this episode is Sean Whalen. If you don't know who he is, if you haven't been following him on social media, man, he is one of the most realest people on the platform, on Instagram. Check him out because he knows exactly where he stands and he lets you know exactly what he's thinking and he's unapologetic about it. A trait that we could probably emulate a little bit more of in our lives. He is the founder of Lions Not Sheep, a hugely successful clothing brand. He is the coach of the Lion's Den, a huge successful entrepreneur in a bunch of restaurants and a bunch of other businesses. The man has gone from millionaire to bankrupt to back to millionaire. He has an incredible journey that he shares with us on this podcast. You're not going to want to miss this one. Check it out. Sean, my man, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Look, for the listeners who aren't so familiar with you, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, a little bit about how you've gone from MMA fighter to successful entrepreneur and coach?
I was raised in a single parent home. I was your typical young hustler, entrepreneur, business builder, visionary, thought way big kind of a kid. Made millions of dollars in my 20s without any parental guidance, really, or economic understanding or capitalistic wherewithal, and found myself depressed, divorced, and bankrupt by the time I was 31. And I spent about 2 years trying to figure out why I was even here on this rock that's spinning through the cosmos, let alone a dad, a business owner, so on and so forth. And so I've spent the last 10 years or so on that quest and building business and building myself and figuring out some of these answers to these questions that I hadn't ever gone and explored prior to that. So, in the path of all of that, we've done a little bit of MMA fighting. We've done a couple of Ironmans. We've tested the waters, built some business, married, divorced, remarried, kids, life, dogs, horses, the whole thing. Here we are.
Love it. I think a perfect place to start is for the people who do know you and they see you today, they see an unapologetic, brash, vocal person. And none of those are insults, by the way, because I believe they're actually compliments. But were you always like that?
No. No, I spent most of my life in the box that all of us were told was normal when we were little kids, right? Sit down, quiet down, slow down. Don't say anything that's going to offend anybody. Like, this is what normal looks like. This is what success looks like. And if you grew up in a religious household, they take it even deeper. And it's like, this is right. This is wrong. This is good. This is bad. This is heaven. This is hell. And so I spent most of my life with this programming that pretty much everybody listening to this went through the exact same programming. And I spent most of my life doing what I was told to do and found myself at 31 years old, not really understanding who the hell I was, not really having a testimony to who I was, not really even exploring who the hell I was. I just did everything because this is what the box looked like that I was told was success and family and life. And so I came from burning my entire world to the ground and going on this journey of really exploring who the hell I even am and why I'm even here. And in the process of all of that, you said something earlier, which is really great. And most of my life, I looked at my brashness as wrong because in the church I was told, you got to kind of quiet it down a little bit, simmer down. In business, you can't say these things in business. Oh, social media, you can't talk about sex, money, politics, religion, divorce, depression, bankruptcy. You can't talk about these things on social media. And so I followed everybody else's guidance the entire life. And I found myself questioning, like, why am I following these people? Why am I doing all of these things if it's not congruent with what it is that I feel? And so I started doing things a little bit differently. I started speaking my mind. I started sharing what I believed, sharing what I felt, sharing what God put into my mind. And I have never been more free. I've never been more liberated. I've never felt more alive, and I've never connected with more people and built a bigger business than I am right now. So, it's taken a little bit of time, 42 years, but here we are.
It's funny how that happens where that frees you up. Cause I think the initial response people have is it could be, if I put out the polished version of myself, if I just put out what other people want to see, that's more free to me because I don't get judged. I don't get hated on. I don't get anything right. Like that. So I'm going to play it safe. But you said something that putting your best self out there, regardless of being judged or whatnot, that equals freedom. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, it's not putting your best self out there.
Your real self. Yeah.
And that's what I found is, you know, the very first post for, and those of you that don't know the story, just buy my book. It's like $350 on Amazon. It's cheap, right? Use Google. I don't want to spend the whole time talking about the past. Like, let's talk about now and moving forward. But like the very first post that I had that went viral a number of years ago, it was a post where my coach challenged me to share on social media because I was hiding. I had gone through a divorce. I had gone through a bankruptcy. I was embarrassed about who I was. I was embarrassed about losing millions of dollars. I was embarrassed about the divorce, about being depressed. I mean, who gets depressed? Depression's weakness, right? Like, I'm a man, just man the fuck up and rise up, put your big boy pants on. And I felt like shit. And so my coach challenged me to share real. And one night I shared a post about how angry I was in my divorce and how mean and bitter I was and how angry I was. And it's fascinating because it was really the first time that I had ever told the truth on social media. Everything was the polished, filtered. This is great. Look at all my wins. Look at all the accolades. Look at how happy I am. Meanwhile, I wasn't very happy. And I found two things that happened after that post went viral. It was insane to me because I'm like, how is this thing going viral? I talked about divorce. I talked about darkness. I talked about like how I was angry and I said a lot of mean things and did a lot of mean things because what do hurt people do? Hurt people. And so I was like, why is this thing going viral? And why are literally millions of people reacting to this? And I realized it was because millions of people struggle with anger. And they struggle with depression and they struggle with darkness and they struggle with marriages and divorces. And 51% of people out there have been through a divorce or will go through a divorce. So half of the marketplace knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I was like, well, shit, like that's an interesting realization that people actually attach to my darkness and will follow me based off of that transparency. And then the second thing that happened was I felt better. I felt better. I was like, well, I'm not hiding anymore. I'm not lying anymore. I don't have anything to hide or lie. I talk about all of the real shit. So it's like, if the ticket to reaching millions and millions and millions of people is telling them the truth, and the ticket to me feeling better physically, emotionally, psychologically is telling the truth, then maybe I should just start doing that. And for the last 8 years, 9 years, as I've been on this journey and introducing, you know, social media to the whole game, it's all I really care about is what's real, what's really happening, what's really going on inside of me. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? It might not be politically correct. It might not be socially correct. It might offend some people. I really don't give a fuck anymore. I care about full transparency, full honesty and truth.
So I want to say that because I think what you just said, where you don't give a fuck, I find that truly fascinating, right? How do you truly come to a point to not give a fuck and not to just say you don't, because so many people say, I don't give a fuck. And then totally. they get one hateful comment and they cry and they run away. But to truly not give a fuck what other people think, I think you have to like get to some sort of place mentally. Like, how does that happen?
I'll tell you exactly how it happens. And I'll tell you exactly how I got there is when I first started, you're damn right. I cared. When I shared that very first post and went viral, there were a lot of people that like, yay, great. But then there was like my ex-wife and all of her friends were like, yeah, he was a dick. There was a lot of hate. I still get a ton of hate. I get a ton of trolls. But here's what I discovered a number of years ago. No matter what I do, no matter what I say, someone's going to have something to say about it. Like, really think about this. I don't care who you are, where you are. You're black, you're white, you're gay, you're straight, you're rich, you're poor. You're fat as fuck. You're skinny, you're ripped. It doesn't matter. No matter what you do, someone's going to judge you. They're going to say, well, you should have done it this way. You shouldn't have done it this way, right? Family members, friends, all of your tribe following you, right? No matter what you say, you should have said it this way. You should have done it this way. You could have. All of a sudden I'm like, well, shit. If I'm poor, people are going to judge me as being lazy, undisciplined. If I'm rich, he's for sure a snake oil salesman. He's for sure ripping people off. You can't be rich today. Tax the rich. You should hate the rich, right? Well, if I'm fat, it's because I'm undisciplined, I'm disgusting, and I eat like shit. If I'm ripped, I'm for sure taking steroids. He's for sure on drugs because you can't get that ripped by actually sweating and eating healthy. And all of a sudden, I was like, literally, no matter what I fucking say, people are going to judge me. Like, literally, no matter what comes out of my mouth, no matter what I do, no matter where I vacation, no matter what car I drive, if I drive a jalopy, if I drive a fucking Lamborghini, if I've got Captain Dad Bod or if I'm ripped as shit. I mean, case in point, we just saw the world heavyweight fighter. And now the conversation is around Tyson Fury, who is Captain Dad Bod, where his opponent is chiseled and ripped. Now everybody's like normalizing this over. I see my point. Yeah. It doesn't matter what I say and what I do. Someone is going to judge it. And so if that's the case, then why don't I just do the things that I want to do and say the things that I want to say? Because that's what makes me feel the best. And all of a sudden I realized that I got into my brain that no matter what I do, someone will judge it. And so if that's true, then what if I just disconnected from every opinion about everything? And I just did the shit I wanted to do, knowing if I'm ripped and I take off my shirt, yo, he's on drugs. Da, da, da. If I don't, I don't really give a shit either way. And I found that the more I did things based off of what I wanted to do, not worrying about the judgment, the more I wrote my social media posts and just hit send without trying to like hypercritical analyze it and redo it and say, well, I need to write it this way because the church and my mom and my pastor and my friends and my boss, and then I water it down to nothing. I was just like, fuck it. You guys are going to judge me no matter what I do anyway, so I might as well buy a Lamborghini. So I bought a Lamborghini. And guess what? Lots of people were clapping. Lots of people were like, you're an asshole. Doesn't matter if I bought a Ford truck. People would say the same thing. So when you talk about not giving a fuck, it's a true understanding that literally no matter what any of you say, no matter what any of you do, you will be judged. So if that's the case, you might as well do the shit that you want to do. Say the things you want to say. It's a way more liberating. It's way more fun. And it's way more freeing living that way.
So I love everything you just said. And I'd love to go a little bit deeper. Is that there's two things that then come to mind. One is you could just not post on social media, right? Like if you, sure. why even do that? And then number two is if you're going to post all that and you're going to be out there, how slippery does it become? Now that's a persona, right? Now I have to keep up with it, right? Because I have the shock and awe. I got to keep the shock and awe going. And now you don't become real anymore. You become just the opposite of the playing it safe. Now you become the fake but extreme version of yourself.
Who's to judge that? Somebody else. I legitimately like...
But it's also easy to really not give a fuck when you reach a level of success right. that a lot of people have. Like most of the people who come on the show, wildly successful, and they sit there and say, I don't give a fuck. But the guy climbing up and the guy who has his first job or the guy at a university, he's not at that level. It's very sure. easy to look at out from your mansion or out from your cars and be like, I don't give a fuck what people think. My family's taken right. care of. I have a beautiful ranch. I have a big ranch. I have a beautiful family. I'm good.
Now think about it for a second. Like, you know, I'll give you an example. Okay. The Hollises, Dave and Rachel Hollis, right? Those of you that know them, they were big influencers. She blew up. She was on Oprah and the whole thing, right? I use them as for a very specific reason, because you go to their social media and life is amazing. Our family is amazing. Look at us. Look at the empire. And then one day, kaboom. For the last 18 months, we have been falling apart. Our marriage is falling apart. We're getting a divorce. And everybody, if you look at those threads and you look at the comments, people are like, what? Are you fucking serious? Like, you guys have been like just lying to us for the last 2 years. And Lily, what did it do? What did it do? It dismantled everything that they had built, right? Are there still people that are like, oh God, I love you. I'm still going to buy all shit. Sure. But what happened? Not only outside, like the world looking in, but look at, I mean, truthfully, you look at where they are individually and what happened. And so when you really stop and think about this for a second, like, no matter where I go or what I do, like that's going to be the reality. And so like, why not be free? The most liberating thing, Jordan Peterson, thank you. Jordan Peterson talks about this all the time. The single greatest remedy for every ailment on earth is truth. The single greatest remedy for any ailment, pain, frustration, bitterness, resentment. How many people on here have ever had resentment towards somebody? And all of a sudden one day you send them a text message and it's all resolved. And you're like, why was I angry for so long? why didn't I do this 10 years ago? I've been carrying this weight for so long. And all it takes is truth. It takes truth and the vulnerability to do it. And that's where I think people go wrong is it is scary. It's terrifying to be vulnerable. But here's what's really fascinating. All of us have had this nightmare. Everybody. You ever had the nightmare where you're like naked in front of the class, you're a little kid? Oh my God, you're naked. Here's what's really interesting. At 42 years old, once you get naked in front of the class, then you've already done it. Now you get naked in front of all the time. It's not a problem, right? Once you jump off that cliff into the lake, like, oh shit, I've been looking at that cliff for 10 years, terrified to jump off that thing. And I just did it. Like, wait a second, what else can I do? And you stop and realize that, like, we're our biggest enemies. We, you and me, this idea that, like, oh, how do I build this thing and build this persona, as you say, and all of these other things. And the reality is people are like, Sean, like, what, how are you on a Gulfstream one day? And then you're like literally standing in cow shit on your ranch the next day. And I'm like, that's literally who I am. That's what I'm doing. They're like, well, you a cowboy? Or are you a business guy? I'm like, I'm all of it. And tomorrow, if I want to be a fucking professional skateboarder, I'm going to go buy a skateboard and learn how to skateboard. But who's to say that I can't? That's the game, man. That's that mental game. We've been put into these boxes. And I say we've been put into them because here's a great question. Did you pick your name?
No.
Okay. Did you decide when you were a baby, right out of the womb, to speak English?
Nope.
Fascinating. Well, where did those come from? Where'd your name come from?
My parents.
Mom and dad. Oh, did they start teaching you Spanish and then eventually you decided to speak English? No. Since we were little children, everything we believe, everything we think, our morality has been embedded in our brain. This is right. This is wrong. This is good. This is bad. If you do these things, you will go to hell. If you do these things, maybe you'll go to heaven. Maybe. Please beg the Almighty. How many people have ever stopped and said, why do I believe what I believe? Because mom and dad told me, because the pastor and the minute, how many people have ever stopped and said, you know what? I'm going to put a time out to this and I'm going to go on a quest and I'm going to just figure out who God is by myself. You can't do this. Did you hear Sean's going to go out in the desert and he's going to start praying? He's falling away. Somebody call somebody from the church and save him and bring him back. Wait a second. I don't like my life. I hate my job. I'm going to go start my own business. Oh my God, you can't. You can't. Why can't you? Well, because mom and dad said it's dangerous and it's, you see what I'm saying? Like, I am who I am right here, right now. And tomorrow I'm going to be somebody different. And God willing, I have next year and the year after that. I don't know where the fuck I'm going. I'm not sure what I'm going to believe then. I'll let you know when I get there. But I don't believe the same things today that I believed 5 years ago or even 10 years ago. I know significantly more about love and connection and compassion today than I did 5 years ago. I know way more about business today than I did 5 years ago. And so there's this knowledge and this understanding of what you're talking about. I just realized that this is literally an open channel to the world. And so wherever I'm driving, whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm thinking, whatever I'm feeling, I can do one of two things. Masquerade around as something that I'm trying to sell everybody something and convince you to believe what I believe, or I can just share with you what the fuck I believe. And if you like it, great. And if you don't like it, great. I don't really give a shit either way. It's a really fascinating thing, this life and what you're talking about. You build up these personas like some celebrities and influencers have, and then they have to lie. They have to keep up the persona. And guess what happens? You'll lose every fucking time. Where when you just share the truth, like, I don't really need to sell anybody anything. If you like what I do, great. If you don't like it, great. If you don't like what I say, there's a really simple way to remove me from your life. You just click a button that says unfollow. Feel free to press it anytime.
It's funny because you're right, but I still find people, I guess, they try to put their real selves out there, but they get scared and then they become sponges of all the content that's out there. And they sit there and say, right, this one's over-indexing this one. And they become too critical and they don't know where they are or where I just heard Sean talk and where that ends and where I begin or where I begin and that ends and they become sponges and they feel they have to vocalize what other people are saying.
Right. Yeah. I mean, man, look, is everybody meant to be a social influencer? I didn't wake up one day. Well, you know what? I've flipped almost 4,000 houses. I've been wildly successful since my early 20s. I've made millions of dollars. You know what? I think today I'm going to become a social influencer. There was no course. There was no book. I just started sharing. I did something that was scary. And I think that's like what I try and teach my clients and what I share with them is, look, the scarier it is, the bigger the reward is. Mm-hmm. The scarier it is, like the more life-changing it is, right? If you're morbidly obese, it's terrifying to think about going to a gym and getting your fat ass on a treadmill when there's tons of other people there that are wearing really sexy Lululemon pants and muscle shirts. It's terrifying. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating, which is exactly why you should go fucking do it. It's terrifying to stand up in front of people and to speak. Most people are afraid of public speaking. So what should you do? Go do that. And then guess what happens? Everything else in your life starts to change. And I found that, like, the more I looked at things I was afraid of, myself, my story, my past, like, men don't talk about the fact that they're scared. Men don't talk about fear. What do? We just bang our chests and we're alpha males and all, oh, that dude's a pussy. No, that's not how it works. And this is why so many people are in so much chaos and trouble. This is why more men are killing themselves than ever before. This is why 51% of marriages are ending in divorce. Because we're playing this superficial game. We're trying to keep up with everybody else is saying and do what's normal versus what's real. Because at the end of the day, dude, I go to bed with my own mind and my own brain. And the thing that I fear the most, and I'll close this thought with this, is being on my deathbed. And chances are I'm never going to be on my deathbed, right? I'm going to drive my race truck off a cliff. I'm going to put too much Tannerite in a target on my ranch and blow myself up. But let's just hypothetically say that I'm 90 years old laying on my deathbed. The thing that I'm terrified of is knowing that here at 42 years old, God put ideas in here and he put passion in here. And I squandered it. I was too worried about what Jason would say. I was too worried about what Bob or Sally or the president of the United States would say. I played small and God told me, go here, do this, live this, say this, help them. And I did none of it because I was afraid of being judged. Because once I'm 90 and I'm on my deathbed, I can't take that shit back. I can't go back in time. And so literally my entire quest in life, when I wake up every day, God blesses me with a day, blessed you with a day, blessed everybody listening to this, whether you're listening to it in 2021 or 2051. If you're watching this right now, you won the fucking lottery. You woke up. And there will be a time that I no longer wake up. And the reality is, like, I live in fear. Why? Because someone will judge how I'm living. I bet you $1 million that person's not going to be at your funeral. I bet you $1 million, like the second you delete them, block them, remove them from your life, within a matter of 15 minutes, they don't even remember you. Yet you're going to remember, man, God told me to do these things. God put this passion in my soul. And I didn't share it with the world because I was afraid. And what I have found is that most people aren't afraid of failing. Most people aren't afraid of screwing up. I don't know why, because we're experts at that. And anybody that's real with themselves, you spent your entire life screwing shit up. You failed, you lost this marriage, you lost this deal, you lost money. What we're deathly afraid of is being judged. Human beings are terrified of being judged. And so we do nothing, we say nothing so that we won't be judged. And the truth is you're going to be judged either way. So why not do the things that you want to do? Say the things you want to say. And what happens when you do those things? You get stronger. You get better. You're able to share more of your life. You're able to share more of your passion, your fears. And guess what happens? You expand as a human being, which means you can serve more. You can help more. You can build more. You can grow more.
I love that. And you talked about raising a family, something I have two little kids and you're raising a family right now. So let's go back a second. When you talk about everything we're taught, you know, was put into us by our parents. I've heard you say that no success can compensate for the failure in the home. So I'd love to know what you meant by that. And where do you see most people failing when it comes to home life right now?
You know, I don't want to judge. I'll tell you how I did it. I grew up with a dad who, like probably most dads, was like, dream. You want to be an astronaut? Go be an astronaut. Just kidding. You're going to have to go to school and work and have a real job, right? I watched people all day long go to jobs that they hate, doing work they can't stand while telling their kids to live their dreams. I watched dads work 20-hour days. I coach thousands of people. I watched dads work 20-hour days, not coaching their kids' team, not being home, not being there when they wake up or there when they go to bed, saying, I'm doing it for my kids. I'm grinding and doing it for my kids. You're doing what exactly? Like showing them how to get the shit kicked out of you by life, showing them what a dad looks like who doesn't pursue his dreams, who doesn't take any chances, who doesn't risk at all to build his own dreams, yet you're actually telling them to do that. Like, I don't remember a whole lot of the stuff that my dad told me. I remember what he showed me. And the truth of the matter is, I never once went fishing with my dad. I never went camping with my father. Like, I never did guys' night with my dad. I asked my mom not too long ago. I'm like, Mom, like, I don't ever remember doing like pizza and bowling with dad. Did I ever do that? And she said, no, because my dad was the guy who was up before the sun came up and was out the door to work. And he came home at 6 or 7 every night. He had himself a couple of scotches and then he went to bed. And that was my existence with my father. And so I realized that, like, that's what he showed me. That's what parenting is. That's what dads do. We hustle, we grind ourselves to the bone, somehow expecting our kids are going to then do something different. Yet we watched our parents live lives they didn't fucking love. We watched our parents tell us these things, and yet we're following suit and we think somehow we're going to break this chain. I was that guy. I did that. And when I burned my world to the ground in when I was 31 years old, I stopped and I was like, I'm a liar. I'm a hypocrite. Yeah, I'm at Disneyland with my family, but I'm on my BlackBerry the whole damn time. Honey, I have to be, it dates me a little bit with the BlackBerry. Honey, I have to be on my BlackBerry. How do you think we can afford to be here? And I'm connected to my work 24/7, 365. No wonder my wife and I were disconnected. No wonder I burned my entire world to the ground and got divorced. And then after that experience, I realized something, like, my kids are not going to remember a whole lot of the shit I told them, but they're going to remember what I showed them. And so I have chosen to live a life where I'm living my dreams. I'm building my dreams and my kids are watching me do it. 3 weeks ago, I bought a race car. Why? Because I love driving fast and it's like every kid's dream. And here I am now buying an Aston Martin race car, and I chartered a Gulfstream jet and put my mom and my brother, who had never been on a jet before, and my kids and my wife and a couple of our friends, and we flew across the country to New York. And I got in this Aston Martin race car, and my kids are buckling me in and helping me out. And they're on the radio listening to the team, and they're watching dad go by at 160 miles an hour. I can tell them how to dream. I can tell them what life could be like, what it should be like, or I can fucking show them. And I realized that, like, everybody who's listening to this right now, well, Sean, that's easy for bullshit, man. There's no silver spoon near my mouth. I grew up in a single parent home. My mom worked 2 fucking jobs. There's no rich uncle, rich anybody that just wrote me a fucking check. I burned my entire world to the ground and moved out of a 10,000 square foot house and sold the Escalade and the whole thing and was driving a little Ford Ranger pickup truck living in a 1-bedroom fucking studio. I know damn well what it's like to be broke. I know what it's like to feel like you're a slave to this world and this system, which is why I've worked so diligently to build something different, which is why when I'm on a Gulfstream, I don't have any apologies for that. I built this. I did the work to do this. I dreamed the dream and I built the freaking vision. And this is what separates a lot of people right now, is we're living in this world where, well, if I do that, or if I buy the house, or I buy the car, or I quit the job, or I build the business, somebody's going to judge me. I can't do that. The choice. So I choose as a father to live a life showing my kids what it's like to live your dreams, to build your dreams, to take chances, to take risks, because I know that they're going to remember that shit way more than me telling them, hey, kid, you want to go be an astronaut? Great job.
I love the passion, and I could go down this rabbit hole with you for this entire podcast, but I want to talk about your business for a second, right? Aside from being an investor, you started a clothing line, a world I know all too well. I had a brand, it was sold in over 250 stores across North America. And I just saw you posting on Instagram that you were changing warehouses or reorganizing the warehouse. And it brought back like PTSD for me. Like I was like, it was the worst. Like I felt it. I was like, oh, I remember the warehouse. Oh, I hated the clothing world. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't have if e-com was what it is now. But good on you though. But thanks. What led to the catalyst for creating Lions Not Cheap?
After I burned everything to the ground, you know, I was in a dark place. I didn't know where I wanted to go. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I'd spent 15 years in the real estate world, flipping thousands of properties, and was very successful there. And I could do it, but I wasn't passionate about it. And one day, I believe in God. I've seen miracles happen. I mean, you look at the sky, look at the mountains, look at a baby, and it's hard to describe that not happening by something. I believe in God, and I believe that God one day put the phrase "lions not sheep" into my brain. I was literally at my house, and it just popped in my brain. And it was like one of those things that was just nagging, and it wouldn't leave, and it wouldn't go away. And it was like there, and it was there, and it was there. I'm like, ah, okay. And I realized that Lions Not Sheep started as my personal mantra. Like I lived most of my life as a sheep. I did what I was told to do. I went to church. I paid the tithes. I did the thing. I built the family. I did the whole thing. And yet I ended up completely miserable, broke, depressed, and suicidal. And so I lived most of my life as a sheep. And I realized that God put that into my brain as literally my own mantra to live my life and realize, like, am I doing this right here, right now? Is this a lion move or is this a sheep move? If you think about a lion, right? Everybody wants to break it down and go, well, the female lions are the ones that hunt. I mean, take all that bullshit, leave it to the side for a second. A lion legitimately does whatever the hell it wants. When it gets hungry, it goes and he kills something and he eats. And if he wants to lay his ass under a tree for 6 or 7 or 8 hours a day, he does. And when a lion wants to mate, he goes and he mates. This is the life of a lion. And I just decided that as this came to me, like this became my mantra. I wrote it on my bathroom mirror and it was something that I repeated myself all day, you know, day after day after day. And then one day I was like, I'm going to put this onto a shirt. Like I'm going to literally just make my own shirt. And it's like my own battle armor. And I called my buddy who owned an apparel company, said, hey, how do I make a shirt? And he's like, well, you pay for the screen, you pay for the thing. It's $10 for the shirt, whatever. I said, great. He said, go to fonts.com and tell me how you want it. I picked out the font, I picked out the thing, and I sent it to him. And a week later, I had my first shirt, which was this logo right here on black shirt and white thing. And it was like, it was me. It represented me. It was this new chapter. It was this Sean Whalen 2.0. It was like, I'm going to live life on my terms. I'm going to say what I want to say. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to build what I want to build, regardless of anybody else. And a handful of weeks later, I was wearing it and posted a picture on social media and somebody saw it and was like, hey, where do I get that shirt? Where'd you get that shirt? I want to buy that shirt. I called my buddy. I'm like, apparently somebody likes my shirt and they want to buy my shirt. I hadn't incorporated it yet. It didn't exist. There was no LLC. There was no lionsnotsheep.com. In fact, for the first year, you had to go to my buddy's website and he just put a little teeny tab at the top that said Lions Not Sheep. And there was just one t-shirt. Like you had to go to his website, his domain to get a Lions Not Sheep t-shirt. And it just grew, man. It grew and grew and grew and grew. It grew inside of me. It became my way of being. And we started making t-shirts and people were just buying the single cheap t-shirt. I had no other designs, no other anything. And my mom retired a couple years ago and she literally made them. I went and bought the URL and put a little.
You took your mom out of retirement and put her to work for you.
Mom, you're coming out here. You can't live. You can't be the cat lady. You got to come work for me. So she came and she had this heat. We had this heat transfer machine and we would make a t-shirt and she'd fold it up and put a little note in it and put in a literally we'd go to the post office and buy a little yellow manila or white manila, white envelope and stick it in there and send it to Bob Johnson in Timbuktu, Kalamazoo. And, we ran that way for a number of years. And then last year, I just decided, I'm like, look, man, this, I want to build an apparel brand around this. Like I want to build a legitimate brand. And we filed for the trademark and got the trademark and the whole thing. And I just brought on some guys. I was like, I don't know anything about e-commerce. I don't really know anything about, you know, the apparel business or anything like that. I know how to connect with people. I know how to build a brand. I know how to speak my voice. And I was getting more and more and more confident, more and more powerful as I continue to do this. And I brought a team on and we went from, I mean, I'll never forget the first day where we're like we're going to run $100 worth of ads. And it was just to a picture of a hat. I'm like, fuck, $100. I'm like, dude, that's $700 a week, 7, 14, 20, and 20. That's $2,800 a month. I'm like, dude, I have to sell so many freaking hats and shirts and the whole thing. And I'm like, I was terrified, man. And it just, it exploded. It exploded. And me being me, I wrote on my whiteboard last May, I said $1 million. I'm like, I'm going to do $1 million in sales. I'm an entrepreneur. I've always been one, right? The last real job I had, I was 23 years ago. I didn't know how the hell I was going to do $1 million. It was like, this is what we're going to do. And the one guy that I had hired to just help me build the website and run some ads, he's like, okay, cool. Right. Well, we hit it less than, I said that I wanted to do it by December of 2020. And we did it in November. And since then we've gone on to literally do over 150,000 transactions and sales. And the brand has exploded with growth. It's all over the world. There's celebrities wearing it, athletes wearing it, which is extremely humbling for me because it literally started as like my mantra. And I get messages from people every day that are like, dude, I feel like I'm putting on armor. And that sounds really cheesy to some people, but I get that because that's how I felt. Like, we're in a day and age where people are waking up, and not to turn it totally political, but it's like, there's a lot of men that are waking up going, I vibe with what you're saying, Sean, because I've been working the same job and I don't like it. I have ideas. I have aspirations. I have dreams, but I've been in this world and I feel like I've been trapped in this box. Like, what do I do? And I'm watching you live your life. And it gives me hope and inspiration and motivation to go do the same thing. Right. And so I vibe with people. I understand what that's like. And I think the brand right now and the message right now resonates so much with people because we're literally living in this day and age of like, you got to choose, man. You got to be a sheep and do what you're told, or you got to be a lion. If you're a lion, like, you're going to have a target on you. There's going to be a lot of people haunting you, trying to freaking get you. But this is the way of being. This is the way that we are. And dude, to say that I'm humbled by where we are now is a true understatement.
No, I love that you got to explain what the brand stands for, because I think from someone who will tune in right now, they see the climate that we're in right now, the political climate we're in, and think that that's what it stands for. It's a political statement. But to hear that you say that, no, even before Trump, Biden, whatever it was, even before all that, COVID vaccine, no vaccine, whatever, you had that mantra that got you to live a better life.
This was born in the Obama era. This came out during the Obama administration.
Yeah. Knowing you, it still applies, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it literally, it's interesting because I get that all the time. Oh dude, you timed this perfectly. This is great. Whatever. I'm like, you don't get it, man. Like 8 years ago. I mean, This isn't political.
This is a mindset.
This was me. This was me choosing to live my life this way. This was me as like a lost, broken man saying, no, dude, no more. I'm not going to be a sheep anymore. I'm going to do my thing. And it's been, you know, we technically started the company in 2015. And so it's been 6 years, and really we've only been doing like what we're doing now, what people see now, for the last year. So it was 5 years of me just like really encapsulating this and building myself, my own emotional and physical and mental capacity. And, you know, now that it's taken off, it's like, it's a trip, man. But it's cool as hell.
Okay. And I love that you're documenting it, right? So people are following along and watching this. Keeping that mantra in mind, look, I believe strongly in coaching. I have clients, I coach people, and I personally have a coach too. So talk to me about how Lion's Den came about and why that was a natural progression for you.
You know, I was really resistant to coaching. A lot of people ask me, like, if you could go back and teach your 20-year-olds something, you know, your 20-year-old self something, what would it be? And I would tell myself not to be a prideful son of a bitch and ask questions and ask for help and ask guidance. Because when I was 20, I mean, I was angry. I was like fire. I was just going. I'm just going to grind my ass off and become rich, right? And I was like a bull in a china shop. And I remember the morning that I woke up. Kind of the turning point for me was a night that I contemplated killing myself. And it was after my divorce, in the midst of this deal. I moved out of this house. I'm living in this little shithole. And I had one of those nights where I was like, dude, what did I do? Like, I burned everything to the ground. Like, what did I do? And I remember that night, like, just begging God, like having that war in my mind of, you know, the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other, trying to decide if I should stay or if I should go. And I woke up the next day and I remember I had this Ruger P95 pistol and a bottle of whiskey. And I was like, I don't want to die, man. Like, I want to fucking live, but I don't know how to do this. And I remember reaching out to my buddy who had kind of gone through some similar things and started building a program, a coaching program for men. And I just told him, I was like, yo, I need help. Like, I'm not an addict to anything. I'm not like addicted to porn or to booze or to drugs or anything, but I'm just fucking angry. And I don't know how to not be angry. And I remember him, you know, talking to me about joining his deal. And I'm like, yeah, I'm in. And then when it came to like sending $5,000, I'm like, come on, bro. Like, really? Like, just tell me the shit and I'll go do it. And I never understood it. And now coaching thousands of people, I get, right? He's not going to invest in me if I'm not going to invest in me. And so it took me a little bit of time and eventually.
And you're not going to do it if you're not invested, right?
100%. Yeah. 100%. Why would I invest in you if you're not going to invest in you? That's ridiculous. That's why people that message me all the time go, hey, man, can I just pick your brain for a minute? I'm like, no, because if you don't value your time to invest in it, to legitimately work with me, then why would I spend my time doing that? Right. I give away and talk to people for free all day long. Right. But when I ended up hiring him and making that decision, that's when I realized like the real gangster shit in life is being able to sit at the foot of someone who knows something that you don't and listening. And I hadn't done that my whole life. I was an egomaniac. I was man alpha, just put on your big boy pants and solve the problem. That's where a lot of men are today. You know what I mean? Oh, dude, why would I join your coaching program? What are you going to teach me? I'm like, I remember saying that too, friend. You know, and that's what I think is really beautiful about coaching and motivation and you know, mentorship is I'm in a place now where I will sit at people's feet and say, teach me. Like I will exchange money for time because I realize the value exchange. And so for me, coaching, I'm the same way as you. I mean, I have a fitness coach. Why? I'm in great shape. I know how to lift weights. I know what a deadlift is. I know what curls are. But the reason I pay a fitness coach is because when I go to the gym, I don't have to think. I don't have to worry about my workout. I pay this person to get me results. They kick the shit out of me for 45 to 60 minutes and I go home and I'm good. It's the same thing in business. Like if I'm wanting to scale and grow from 15 million to 50 million, I'm going to go find somebody that's scaled from 15 to 50 and say, teach me how you did it. And maybe I take one or two or 10 nuggets from them and I plug it in and it saves me significant time and or significant loss, right? And this is what I have understood and found personally with coaching is, I don't ever see a time that I don't have a coach or multiple coaches and mentors and groups that I'm a part of. And so
It's funny, I just want to, because one thing you said was super important and I want to give you the exclamation point on it is that people see it and sit there and say, okay, I got to invest this amount of money. But I look at time as way more valuable than money, and everything has a cost in it, right? It's time or money. Those are the only two currencies in life. So I much rather pay a guy who's done what I'm about to do and pay him 100%. So that I don't make the same amount of mistakes, which would have cost me the same amount of money as hiring that person anyways, but also save myself 5 years from getting there.
100%. And even think about taking one step further. You know, you spend $50,000 on college to go get a psychology degree, but now you're working at Target or you're working as an executive assistant to some rich guy, right? You spend 50 G's, but then when it's like, I'm going to spend 100 or 200 or 300 a month on this mentorship or this coaching, why would I do that? That's ridiculous, right? I saw as I hired my coaches and learned very, very, very specific systems, like make no mistake. Like I went from self-made multimillionaire to going through bankruptcy to now running multiple multi-million dollar companies. There's a gap there. There's a gap there. And what I teach people and what I coach people on is what that gap is and how I built past that gap, right? I think it's easy for people to see that if you're obese and there's a trainer over here that's ripped out of their mind, they probably know something that you don't know. So if you exchanged money for their knowledge, you'll then get and do the work that they did. You then get the result. And so you know, most of the people that join, you know, the Lion's Den, for example, they're looking at it, and I don't spend any ads. I don't market it at all. It's literally all through social media. It's 100% organic. It's people watching me build. It's like literally business owners going, shit, I'm still working 20 hours a day. I'm watching Sean buy these race cars, have all this fun, still growing his companies. I have employees. I have the same shit every other business owner has. Yet how is it that I'm playing all day, every day? That's that game, right? And so for me, I started the Lion's Den because I realized that there were very, very, very fundamental and foundational things that I learned that I had to master in order for me to make it to where I am today. And that's what I teach inside of the Lion's Den. It's what we call core four: power, passion, purpose, and production. And every single thing in life fits into one of these buckets. And when you start to master the art of investing in yourself and working these buckets, you know, you start seeing big results, right? And so that's what the Lion's Den, that's what coaching is for me, is I show people like, look, I literally did this for the last year, every single day. And here's my result. Case in point, social media. Like, people come to me and say, dude, how did you get so big on social media? It's like, I constantly was posting day after day after day after day. And the reason I was posting is because I was scared of it, which most people are scared of social media, to share the real truth, to share what's really going on. Hence the Hollises. They didn't want to share that they were freaking falling apart. They wanted to share the sunshine and the roses, right? And if that's the case, then that's how you end up getting where you are today. Like, that's literally how I share with people. Literally go post every single day for 30 days. People go, oh my God, what am I going to talk about? Well, cool. Here's a list of what you can talk about. Sean, I did 3 videos and they didn't go viral. The only people that liked them is my mom and our dog sitter. And I've done thousands of pieces of content to get to where I am. Are you willing to do thousands of pieces of content? Are you willing to go to the gym every single day, or just from January 1st to January 7th when you're really, really, really excited about these New Year's resolutions that you have? You see why people stay on the same hamster wheel year after year, day after day, week after week? Like, that's what coaching is. That's what hiring and being involved in mentorship is getting you a fast track to something different.
It's also, I feel there's a scarier place to be, right? And that's a place of stagnation. That's a place of staying still, of not knowing what you don't know. And so many people who reject coaching or who reject asking for help, I don't need it. They don't know whether they need it or not, and they stay still. At least if you're moving forward, you know you're progressing. If you're declining, you know you're declining. If you're moving backwards, you're okay. But when you stay right where you are, I find, and maybe that's the entrepreneur in me and that's the entrepreneur in you, but I find that's the most dangerous place to be.
Well, you totally agree. One of my favorite quotes is, idle time is the devil's workshop. That's when people get into trouble. That's when you make terrible decisions. That's when shit like is not happening in your relationship. You hear so many men, I mean, use this as an example. I can go down the rabbit hole in every aspect of life, but you all of a sudden, your wife walks out the door after 20 years of marriage. You're like, wait, what happened? Wait a second. Like, this caught me off guard. I'm completely surprised. And you're like, were you listening at all for the last 20 years? She's been
telling like, that's the point. That's the point.
That's exactly my point. It's the same thing in business. You come into December and you make these grandiose plans and goals. You draw up your vision board and you got all the cool shit on it. And then you wake up January 1st hungover, just like you did last year. And you spend 4 days trying to recover. And then you jump back into the exact same movement in the exact same habits and patterns. This is the reason that people stay stuck. This is the reason that stagnant nature, radical change, write this down if you're listening to me, radical change requires radical change. Radical change in life, in finances, in my marriage, on my body requires radical change. And the definition of insanity is what? Banging your head against the wall over and over and over again, trying to get a different result. And somehow people think that it's noble. Look, I've been banging my head against the wall for 10 years and maybe one day I'm going to figure it out. It's like, maybe you should just stop banging your head against the wall and do something different. Maybe that shake weight that you bought from the infomercial that you haven't used is really not what's going to get you in shape. Maybe continuing on with the same buying habits is what keeps you where you are, or the same selling habits, or the same business, or the same relationship. perhaps it's time for a change. And that's where people, you know, they get stuck and they talk to somebody like you, or they talk to somebody like me, and they're like, is there something different? Wait, I want to build a social media following. Okay, great. I want you to post every single day for 30 days. And this is what I want you to talk about. What else do you got, Sean? What else do you got? You have something different? You have something else? Because that's really hard. No fucking shit. Do you want to learn and to grow? And do you want to change your reality, or do you want to stay stuck? And that's where most people are, is they want the easy shit. The reason we don't hire trainers is because we're scared of it.
Oh, I know. I know I could take you down a rabbit hole of people wanting the easy answer. I've seen your social media and your responses. I'm going to wrap up with this. You're friends with, and friends of mine, friends of the show, Dan Fleischman, Ryan Stuman, you guys do business together. How important is it being around, not only like-minded people, but being in the room and being around successful people in order for you to achieve your success?
It's probably, here's what's cool about this question. It's one of the most important things that you can do, right? But it's the thing that you can do that costs you nothing. Okay. It costs you nothing. Now, to go to an event or to go here or to go there, you're going to have to spend whatever you have to spend, right? To join a program. But here's what's interesting. Like, this is this social media thing, right? Like, every person listening to this probably has Instagram, probably has Facebook, right? And the really interesting thing is, like, if you analyze who you follow, who shows up in your space, I'd be willing to bet that if you're not where you want to be financially, you probably have a bunch of dipshits that you follow and that show up in your space. I'd be willing to bet that if you're not in the shape that you want to be in, you're probably not following all the fitness gurus. There's nothing more important than surrounding yourself with good people. If you're fat, I bet you $1,000 your friends are fat. You're broke, you're not hanging out with wealthy people. Guess what? If you're like super dramatic, so are all your friends. If all of your friends are a bunch of shit talkers that just talk mad smack about everybody, guess what? You are too. It's science. It's not, you don't find really, really, really obese people hanging out with ripped people. You don't find that. And there's a reason for it, because this is the separation of life and it's a choice. Who do I choose to fill my brain with? Positive people, people that are leveling up, people that are growing, people that aren't gossip, that aren't bullshitting. Or do I literally is my entire feed full of Fox, ABC, NBC, CNN. And I'm wondering why am I always so dramatic? Why does my life suck? Right. I choose to surround myself with good people. My favorite book of all time is As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. And James Allen talks about how your mind is literally a garden and it's going to grow something. It will, regardless of whether you try not to, it will grow. And if you want it to produce fruit and goodness, then you're going to have to plant good seeds. You're going to have to put good stuff in your brain. You're going to have to read good things, observe good things. And if your life is full of chaos and drama, good fucking luck. If you do nothing and you just choose not to indoctrinate and fill your brain with good people, good messages, like good education, it will just grow weeds. And you'll spend all of your days trying to like chop these weeds down and not be dramatic and not be chaotic. And so literally, like, man, I tell you what, with the age of social media, the ability that you have to literally choose who you follow, you choose who shows up in your space every single day. I promise you, you choose the right people. It's just a matter of time before you're now in the same room as these people and you're flying on the same planes as these people and you're building businesses with these people. There's no accident of how Dan Fleischman and I and Ryan Stuman are business partners. There's no accident. It was very, very, very intentional. When I quit hanging out with shitbags, I started hanging out with better people. When I quit hanging out with shitbags, I quit being a shitbag. See how that works? And it's absolutely free. Literally costs you nothing. Costs you nothing to put good information in your brain. You already got a cell phone. You already got social media. Choose better people to follow. Choose better people to hang out with. You see a free meeting in town. Dan Fleischman is literally going to be doing an elevator night here in my warehouse. Free. Dan Fleischman does these elevator nights. And we're going to have 300 people here in my warehouse.
But Sean, how do I get to be around millionaires? I want to meet Dan Fleischman. I want to meet you.
Come to the fucking free event. Who do you have to become? What do I have to do? How much cash money do I need to be in the room?
What else you got for me, Sean? What else you got?
All possible.
Tell me the other way. That sounds too easy.
I can do this shit all day long. I can do it all day long. But Sean, I have a... It's fact. I know that you get this. And I know that probably a lot of people that are listening to this do too. But there's a lot of people that don't. And like, this is where, you know, we got one shot at this game of life. And the reality is that like, how many free events does Dan Fleischman need to throw before you fucking show up to one? You know who shows up to these events? I already know who's going to be here. There will be probably 50 people in here in this room that are multi-millionaires. I know two people that are planning on coming that are both billionaires with a B, exited their companies north of $1 billion.
But Sean, I don't know how to get in the room with billionaires. Sean, I don't know how to hang out with millionaires.
Get in that fucking car and drive and go to the free events that these millionaires are throwing and sit in the same room with them.
Love it.
But what do I know? What do I know? I'm just a dumb guy who sells t-shirts.
Successfully selling those t-shirts, by the way. But brother, thank you so much for being so open and sharing your thoughts. For the people who want to get in touch with you and learn more, how can they find you?
SeanWhalen.com, lionsnotsheep.com. The World Wide Webs. Thank you, Al Gore. Just follow the lead of Al Gore. He invented the internet. I'm on the internet.
Awesome. Love it, brother. Appreciate you.
Thanks, man.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for paying attention and tuning into that episode. If you enjoyed it, please do me a favor. Go leave a 5-star review. Leave a review. Leave some comments. Share it with some friends. Spread the love. It would mean the world to me. Thank you so much for your attention and for tuning in. And I will see you on the next episode.